It's time for Twig This Week in Google. They're here. I'm going to unbox the Snapchat spectacles. We'll talk about the tech summit going on right now in the Trump Tower. And the Google self-driving car. It's got a new name. We'll reveal all next on Twig.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twig.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly, CacheFly.com. This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 383, recorded Wednesday, December 14th, 2016. The spectacle's spectacular. This Week in Google is brought to you by FreshBooks, the super simple cloud accounting software. It's giving thousands of freelancers and small businesses the tools to save time billing and get paid faster. Try it free at freshbooks.com/twig. It's time for Twig This Week in Google, the show where we talk about this week in Google and Facebook and Twitter and Trump. There should be a new one, This Week in Trump. Jeff Jarvis, you can host it if you want.
I don't know if my stomach acid can take it.
Buzzmachine.com. Were you buzzed yesterday by the C-130 flying around over Manhattan?
No, I wasn't around. No, I saw everybody had that. Yeah. If you go to Fifth Avenue, that was at Fifth Avenue, and it's always crazy there.
Well, you know what's funny is we have helicopters buzzing us all, you know, the Coast Guard's down the road, there's training missions and stuff. And we run out, we look up, and we go, okay, and we go back in. But Manhattan is like the same size as, you know, Petaluma, but it's got a lot more people and all the media. And so suddenly that's a massive story, right?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it was a military exercise. But I understand why people are a little afeared and nervous. Some people thought it was Obama coming to take over. Seriously. I am not kidding. I saw on Twitter.
He's still in charge, you know.
I saw on Twitter. The whole point is that there are people who expect that Obama will prevent this transition and king himself. And they expect military. Yeah. Oh, you don't know about this. Oh, yeah. And they expect military action. And there were people. See, this is why I love Twitter. And you know I love Twitter. Stacey Higginbotham, IOTpodcast.com. Stacey on IOT. She's our IOT guru. And wonderful to have you both from Austin, Texas. I have a little something-something.
Is it a minion? I want it to be a minion.
Minion-like. You will now be my minions. You are my minions.
Oh, you got it? You didn't have to stand in line?
Spectacles.
I took advantage of this thing called eBay.
How much over the market was it?
It was only 200-some. Wasn't much.
Down from 1,000.
Yeah, and it was a buy it now. And that's because the store in Manhattan is open all the time. Or not all the time, but all evening. And so it's a lot, and you can make a reservation, so it's a lot easier. So I think people are actually, you know, content to make $100.
I would be content to make $100.
Yeah, they go, they get a few. Yeah. So here you go. Should I open it? I mean, it's sealed in the box. I'll have to charge him. But I thought it's probably important for me to know about this. I'm not a big snapper. But
it is. It's totally important.
Yeah, this is something the kids are doing. And
you chose black, not coral or turquoise?
Well, okay, call me insane, but I didn't want to look too weird.
I'm going to call you old, Leo. I won't call you insane. I'll just be,
Now, I don't know. Is this supposed to be speckled like that, or is that mold? I guess it's supposed to be speckled like that.
That looks legit.
That looks legit.
Smell it and see what happens.
Oh, it smells like fine polyurethane. Ooh. Oh, that's the charger. Right there. I'm going to need a...
Oh.
Yeah, because they charge in the case. Well, this is new in the box, kids. Ooh. All right, I'm going to put them on. I don't think there's a charge on them, but I'm going to put them on. You tell me how good I look, okay?
Goofy time.
Ready?
I actually think for your face, they should be a little bigger, Leo,
they're a little small. They look huge on everybody else, don't they? And I have such a melon head. I have the world's most massive head. And I have to actually buy special wide glasses.
Like the big and tall glasses?
I go to the big and tall glasses store. And these are too small for me. Dang it. I thought if anything would be big enough. Kara, come here.
Yes.
Kara, put these on and see how it looks on you. Kara is a beautiful young woman who has a normal size head. See, they look great. Oh, Kara.
They look good.
They look so good on you. Oh, I should just give them to Kara. Oh, my gosh. I was actually, I think I'm going to keep them because I want to, I like the idea. I've heard that streaming live video is all the rage these days. So I was thinking maybe I should do some of that. I don't look like Casey Neistat, that's for sure. So look at this. They got a nice USB cable. And this is proprietary. It's not a traditional USB cable. It's got pogo pins that go in the back of this. But you know what, John? I'm just going to plug it into the computer. I don't need a special
dongle. I have.
He just has to walk 3 feet to get to the computer.
Computer. I have a special computer. Okay. Oh.
That is hard. Now you know you're old when it's a workout to get up and go on the other side of the table.
Well, when you go that way, yes.
Yeah, that is the long way. All right, so I'm going to put them in this box. And I mean, I have to peel stuff off, peel that off. Oh, I see.
Can I say that I love charging things in their boxes? I've got all these like proprietary cable dongle things.
Yeah, it's ugly, isn't it? Yeah. I see behind you, you've got a charger. It's a pain in the butt, right?
Yes, behind me there's a charger and a connected blood pressure cuff.
Oh, but, like, are you okay?
Oh, yeah, I was just
testing. You know what's cool? This is good design, too. So the pogo pins, I was wondering, well, where do I plug these in? Because you don't see any visible. The pogo pins are hid behind the hinge on the glasses. Mm-hmm. So when you
have to plug them in?
Well, you put them in the case.
Oh, you just connect it.
But there's got to be a way to connect to the case, right? And so to the charger in the case, and it just goes. It's not the most. Oh yeah, you could see. Oh, you could tell you're doing it right because the little LED array lights up. Mm-hmm. And actually, they're mostly charged. They're mostly charged. So I'm gonna let them sit there for a little bit and throb gently. While we do the show, and maybe a little later in the show, I'll Snapchat this.
I think you snap it now, right? It's now Snap.
Oh, well, I know the company Snap.
Do you Snapchat it? You're still Snapchatting your video? Is that how the kids are saying it now?
I can't imagine you're snap. You really are you snapping everything now?
No, let's see. I don't know.
Turn on your phone's Bluetooth and put on your spectacles. Install the latest version of Snapchat. See, the app's still Snapchat. Open Snapchat and swipe down to view your Snap code. Look at your Snap code and press the button on your spectacles to pair. Oh, wait a minute. I got to do that. I mean, I can't.
We got to do that.
If we're going to do the full unboxing, I got to pair it, right?
Yeah, we got to see the world through Leo's eyes.
I don't,
more so than usual.
Frankly, that's all you see around here. It's going to take me a little bit because I have to download the latest. Oddly enough, I don't have the latest Snapchat on my iPhone. So, Stacy.
Hit me.
Eero in my house.
Oh.
I got the Google Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Had some problems.
Oh.
Had to call the Goog.
Oh.
Okay.
It said to call the Goog, so I called the Goog. They said reset it. I said, well, how do you reset it? Well, they don't document this, but there is a button on the thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you plug it in with a button push, that resets it. So I did reset it. One of the three units was wonky. When you reset it, it re-downloads the firmware. Paired, everything's fine. Some thoughts, though.
Okay.
You can't run it in bridge mode. Now, I have, unfortunately, and many, I think, at home will have a situation like this. I have a router from a cable modem router from my Comcast, my internet service provider, that does DHCP, does the networking, the routing. And in my case, because I have a business class service, I can't turn it off. I have to pay $18 extra a month to turn it off. So the Google thing says, well, I see we're double natted. Your best thing to do would be to turn off routing in your router and let us do the job. But if you can't, we can go in bridge mode, but we should warn you, none of the cool stuff will work. None.
Oh.
And somebody told me that Eero is really in the same situation. If they're not fully controlling the routing, and that makes sense. There's some of the cool stuff they can't do, like you know, choosing which point you're on and things. But Eero doesn't tell you that. Google tells you that.
Eero has it in their advanced settings, I think.
Ah, so if you go into bridge mode, you get warned? Because I got a big
I've never gone into bridge. What about Ubiquiti? Because they have their routers that are actually enterprise class.
So guess what? I just ordered the Amplify.
Okay.
Because I want to try them all now.
So I will. You want my update on Plume while you're waiting, or have you downloaded?
No.
So I let my network marinate for a week because you had to let it live and learn, live and learn. So it has done that. And when I did the testing,
so you can't really use it, or you can use it, but you just don't want to test it.
Before it
marinates. Yeah.
Yes.
So can you test it?
You can. You can use it and you can test it, but the results are going to be different because what it's doing is it's learning your network settings and how things are used and optimizing for it.
Okay.
So technically,
it won't be as fast as it's going to be.
Yes. A more accurate representation is probably later.
So that's good. You have the patience to do that because I do not.
Okay. So here's where we get into it. So what we talked about last time with there only being one port.
Yeah.
So I thought, I was like, no, it all works because some of my devices were connected, but that's because I had plugged them in into one of the little pluggy things.
Yeah.
So I actually have now decided in my house, it is impractical. And for anybody who's running a switch or needs to, you know, has a situation where they want to plug into a LAN, This is not the Wi-Fi for you. You can run it also in bridge mode, but it's complicated. And if you're buying this, you're probably trying to get coverage without the stress of like an extender. So
that's
I think it kind of takes away any useful there. I also noticed, so for the last week, like I haven't been able to turn my lights or work my printer because they're on the LAN and work my Sonos. So sad, Stacey. But
by the way, I think the Eero has killed my Sonos.
What?
We'll talk about that next.
Okay, because someone else complained about that, but they found a solution.
Oh, good.
But the Plume Wi-Fi was consistent everywhere, but it was about 60% less than the Eero's Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, I mean, it was still 80 megabits per second to the Plume's 140 megabits per second because I'm on 150 megabit per second connection. So I was kind of like,
You got it right backward. The Eero was 140. The Plume was 80.
Sorry. Yes. I did get it backwards.
You don't want to see that. That's not mesh. The promise of mesh is that's not going to happen because if you use an extender, that's what happens. You cut in half your total bandwidth so that they can have a back channel. And the whole theory behind these, apparently Loom is really more like an extender system than it is.
Plume
is more an extender system than it is a mesh system. And that would kind of explain why you put one in every room.
Yeah.
It's doing
that. I see. Okay. That's it. Okay. Right.
Yeah. So I want to try the Orbi. That's another one. Although I'm nervous about Netgear because the word just went out that Netgear has a massive exploit in its firmware. So I'm
getting the Orbis.
Well, yeah, you might want to update before you use it.
So those are the old ones. Those are the R7000s.
Okay.
The new ones are fine.
Okay.
But they are. So yeah, the Orbis are actually en route to my house,
good.
I believe.
Well, see, this is good. There's very few people are going to be able to test all of them. And so we really want to kind of get a sense of what they can all do. I've decided, now you're using the Amplify, right?
No, I'm
You didn't
I'm
get the Amplify. Okay, that's the Ubiquiti. I ordered the Amplify and I decided to order there's two of these, the long range and the high density. High density is the higher end, more expensive, more radios, more antennas, more juice, and so theoretically faster. So I got the, you know, it's not that much more expensive. I got the HD just to see. So I'll have more tests. But right now I'm sticking with the Eero. The Eero's the one, and partly because I have five units now. I ended up getting two more. So that's saturated. So I have excellent everywhere, five bars everywhere. But all of a sudden the Sonos just stops working.
Did you reset it? Because sometimes you have to reset it.
I spent 2 hours. I got up at 6 a.m. this morning and was cursing and swearing through every room in the house, resetting everything. I ended up resetting the whole Eero system. I ended up resetting the whole Sonos system.
Okay.
And the Sonos comes and goes. And now here's my theory. I have so saturated the spectrum with the Eero, right? I've
its own little Wi-Fi network can't do it.
Yeah, the 2.4 gigahertz spectrum. Eero uses both 2.4 and 5, but it's on 2.4. And I have so saturated it because, I mean, think about it. I've got hundreds of watts of Wi-Fi in the, pulsing through the house. I could fry an egg. That the Sonos just goes, I can't, I give up. And I have a boost and everything. I have the nothing. So I don't know. I'm going to call. I didn't have time this morning to call Sonos. I'll be calling Sonos and I'll have an update for you. Are you ready for me to pair?
Did you just kind of confuse the hell out of the Sonos by just having all these Wi-Fis?
I saturated. Yeah, I saturated the spectrum and the Sonos can't get through it. And it's just, but it's frustrating.
Which means your neighbors hate you too.
Well, we live in the country, so the neighbors are...
It's like, they're going to love you as well.
Relatively distant. But that's actually something to consider. A lot of these Wi-Fi solutions that are supposedly improve your Wi-Fi, like multiple radios and super, are actually terrible. They suck all the bandwidth out of your neighbor's house. They're really terrible for your neighbors. All right, now what did it say? It said, take a picture. Where's the button on this? Here it is. There's the button. So I press this button, and I'm supposed to see a QR code, right? What happened? I got to read this again. Install the latest version of Snapchat. Oh, swipe down to view your Snapcode. Oh, I wasn't viewing my Snapcode. Okay. Look at your Snapcode and press the button on the spectacles. Okay. There's my Snapcode if anybody wants it. You can show my Snapcode. Oh, Snapchat would like access. Yes. Looking for. Keep looking directly at the Snapcode. I'm looking.
Not.
Spectacles found. This has to be easy because this is aimed at, you know, name your spectacles. What should I name them? Banana.
I was going to say Blues Brothers come up a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's dark. We're wearing sunglasses. We got a full tank of gas. I'm going to call it Hit It. Isn't that what they say at the end of that quote? Hit It. And then only I will know what I'm talking about, but it's a little Blues Brothers reference. These are the Hit It spectacles. Connecting the spectacles. So exciting. I can now select an accessory. Oh, Hit It. See? Hit It. And it's,
boom.
It's a little emoji with sunglasses on. Setting up spectacles. All right. So it's fairly easy. It's, you know, this is what the Eeros and the Orbeez and everything. These are all like this. Same kind of thing where you I'm paired. Okay. Press once to take a 10-second video snap. Press again to extend by 10 seconds or press and hold to stop recording. So I've been reading. There's articles on how to get good snaps. And one of the things it says is if you triple tap, you get 30 seconds. Double tap the side to check your battery level. Okay. If you're running low, put the spectacles in their charging case. Specs light up when they're charging. Yeah, I noticed that. Charging case holds about 4 full charges. Oh, that's neat. So I'm charging the case. Oh, that's cool. All right. All right. And then I, apparently I have a story already. All right. Get HD. What does that mean? By default, stories are imported in SD. You can import your favorite stories in HD. I got it. Okay. All right. No. All right. So should I do a story?
Probably.
All right. All right. Look at me now. Look at me. All right. Ready? I'm going to tap it twice for 20 seconds. This is what happened when Leo got his brand new Snapchat spectacles. Everybody was so jealous. They just turned bright green. Hello, everybody. Is it snapping? Snapchatting?
Snapchatting? I don't know. Snapping sounds snappier.
I'm with the kids, man.
Does the light go around in it?
Yeah, that's to let you know that it's going.
Man. That's
Can
really
you see
cool.
that it's
that.
Recording?
Yeah.
That's now, the light goes around.
Like from your perspective?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, you can't see anything.
Okay.
And now it's...
So, dark.
So the thing I read said a couple of things. Put your hands in the Snapchat a lot. Otherwise, it just looks like a video. But this way, now you know it's first person if you do that. They also said, have a beginning, a middle, and an end. They also said... What else did she say? Anyway, stuff like that.
I kind of like the idea of just being like surreptitious videos that you've snapped. Or
there ain't that surreptitious, but yeah.
Well, yeah.
Everybody's going to stay away from the guy with the goofy glasses.
Right after the show, I'm going to Vegas.
Okay. You going to use it to count cards? Send it to your hedge fund dude in the back? I bet they don't like it.
What do you think if I go in the casino with this and start try to play blackjack? They're not going to like that.
Yeah, I think you should record whatever happens.
Were there any stories of Google Glass at casinos?
Oh, probably not. Probably you don't get through the door. I will try. I do have experience with this because one CES, we were going to an event through a casino with a camera crew, and I said, get everything. And we immediately got stopped and said, you have to turn your camera off. And my camera guy, who, bless his soul, fought him. And I said, not physically, but he was, no, I'm not depressed. I got it. So I said, no, it's all right. Don't just pretend you're turning it off. I think we were streaming live. So just
yes, in June 2013, the New Jersey Division of Gaming Enforcement issued a directive for Atlantic City to ban casino patrons from using.
They don't want any video, any camera in the casino.
Huh? Is it because of things like tracking and card counting?
No, I think possibly, but also they just don't want anybody know. It's the same reason the TSA doesn't want you to take pictures at TSA.
Well, that's silly.
You're catching people in affairs.
Oh, that's true too. What happens in Vegas
should stay there. In
Vegas. Shows up on Snapchat.
Well, everybody should follow me. I just showed you my thing. I don't remember what it was, but I'm that guy on
your
Snapchat.
Your handle?
I think I'm Chief Twit. I don't know.
So can we watch it on Snapchat now?
I don't know what happens next.
it's Snapchat. On Snapchat. You may have to approve it, actually.
I don't know.
But it should tell you because.
Could somebody go look and see if I'm Chief Twit on the Snap.
Right, hold on.
I don't know how this stuff works.
Let me find my
Snapchat is intentionally, by the way, obtuse because that's all part of the mystique. So
all right, I'm looking for you, Chief Twit.
So good news, breaking news. Thank you, Guy Smiley, in the chat room. If you give me a link, I'd appreciate it. Yahoo says hackers stole data from more than 1 billion user accounts.
How do they have that many?
Who knew?
God,
is that true or are you making that up? I don't know.
Ah.
We'll find the story. Moving on. As we speak, the tech summit is going on. I don't know. Is that a fair thing to call it, the tech summit?
I think that's what they have called it.
President-elect Trump is meeting with Tim Cook, Larry Page, Eric Schmidt, Elon Musk.
On the rundown, there's a layout of where they sat.
Oh, you are good. You are good.
And there's hilarious picture of the looks on their faces.
Okay. Look who's at the table. Is that the one? This is a tweet.
Go to the view to the third link there. Who sat where?
Okay. Is that Sheryl Sandberg? That's Sheryl Sandberg.
Click on the
Larry Page.
Click on the image because you'll see the whole thing then.
And who's this guy on the left? It looks familiar. Oh wait a minute. That's Jeff Bezos. Oh my God.
Look at their faces. Look at their faces. They are so sad.
I wouldn't project too much into that.
I'm projecting.
They could just have been told that the only thing available for lunch is egg salad.
No,
I love egg salad.
I know, I do too, but here's some more expressions.
Grim in a room full of people.
Yeah, only egg salad? Come on.
Okay.
I thought you were the president. This is another one that maybe is more telling. This is from Reuters. Trump is speaking. Teal is listening intently. Tim Cook is going... I don't know. What is Tim saying?
There's another hilarious Tim Cook photo.
Yeah, and then that's Safra Katz, who is the CEO of
Oracle,
right? Yeah, or COO. She's the one who said, Mr. President-elect, we will be glad to make any database you need. It's interesting. She and Ginni Rometty of IBM both volunteered to make databases for just whatever he wants to keep track of.
Well, IBM already did that for Hitler.
Exactly.
They've got references.
If you look at the Politico story on why Jack wasn't invited.
So oddly, that would. Now, if you looked, I did see one thing that said they're all billion-dollar plus companies. So there's a clear line, and everybody who's invited who is bigger than a big billion dollars.
No, there are bigger tech companies that weren't there. There are half a dozen of them. Salesforce wasn't there.
That's true. Benioff, you know, they invited Chesky from Airbnb. He didn't come. He couldn't make it. Travis Kalanick couldn't make it from Uber.
That's weird. That's surprising.
Yeah, it is surprising. But maybe he legitimately couldn't make it.
There was another story that said that Kalanick and Elon Musk were having their own meeting and that they were already signed up to be advisors to Trump.
Okay. Thiel is bringing in everybody, right? I mean, this is Peter Thiel organizing this.
Yep.
What I'm really, I think the pictures at the table are going to be less telling than the pictures of them leaving. And I'm hoping some of them will talk about what the conversation was.
Sure.
It could be simple stuff. I know, you know, one thing that the president-elect is offering them is the inexpensive repatriation of their tax money from, you know, for a lower cost. And I know a lot of them would welcome that for sure.
Here's the funny quote. Trump saying to them, you'll call my people. It doesn't make any difference. We have no formal chain of command around here.
Yeah, that's a little weird. That will change when he gets in the White House. I think that's not the case. He met with Bill Gates yesterday independently. And Kanye.
Yeah.
That's a day. That's a Squirrel. Big day. When you met with Kanye and Bill Gates in one day, that's a big day. So we don't know, but many of the people meeting with him are immigrants. Satya Nadella, Cates is an immigrant, Katz. Peter Thiel himself is an immigrant from Germany. In fact, much of Silicon Valley was built, as we know, by immigrants. So, I don't know if somebody's going to bring the question. I wonder, is anybody going to challenge him? Is anybody going to stand up and say, look, you got to help us with immigrants. This is who builds Silicon Valley. We can't be kicking people out. I don't know. I think if I'm them, I sit and listen.
Well, the first level question is, do you go?
Well, obviously you go. Everybody went, right? Who didn't? It's the president.
That's it. No,
it's the president.
It's a question.
Well, you read, of course, Kara Swisher's
just brilliant,
scathing article, when she said you don't go. And Chris Sacca, she couldn't get substantive comments from anybody who went or was going at the time. This was written a couple of days ago. But she did call an investor, Chris Sacca, who's always been outspoken. And he said, well, what's the quote? Scroll down a little bit. It's a really good quote.
The bottom, very bottom.
Yeah, I'm a little at a disadvantage here because I'm trying to. This Windows PC got rebuilt last night and it's not fully functional yet. I can't read it, but he said, it's funny. In every tech deal I've ever done, the photo op comes after you've signed the papers. If Trump publicly commits to embrace science, stops threatening the censorship of the internet, rejects fake news, and denounces hate against our diverse employees, only then would it make sense for tech leaders to visit Trump Tower. Short of that, they're being used to legitimize a fascist. Wow.
Leave it to Sacca to say the blunt thing.
Here from Felix Salmon is the layout, I think. If it will.
Yes, that's the one. That's what you got to click on the image so you get the whole image.
Yeah.
Because the tweet cuts it.
Not really loading very fast.
I also just put up the hilarious cook photo.
The hilarious cook photo. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on with this.
You have a gigantic screen and you can't find it.
Well, we rebuilt it. It's
why? Why would you do that?
Because it was a little slow. And so Father Robert did brain surgery. And you know what my mistake is? I'm using Microsoft's Edge browser. I'm going to stop doing that right now and get Chrome. What's my mistake? So, okay, let's parse this. Here's the so the kids, Donald Jr., Ivanka, Eric, are sitting at one end
with Brad Smith
of the New York. Who's Brad Smith? New York Times.
Well, I assume it's Microsoft. Brad Smith, Microsoft.
Oh,
Brad
Microsoft. Smith. Okay,
but I don't know.
Brian Krasnich, that's the CEO of Intel. Then is to DJ Jr.'s right, Alex Karp of Tumblr, Eric Schmidt, Google, Steve Bannon, who is advisor to the president, formerly of Breitbart, Reince Priebus, former RNC, now chief of staff. Jared Kushner, the son-in-law, owner of the New York Observer, who is also now a high-level advisor. Chuck Robbins.
CEO of Cisco.
Cisco. Gina Rometty of IBM. Satya Nadella of Microsoft. Stephen Miller. Who's that? Don't know. Wilbur Ross and Gary Cohen. I don't know that end.
Those are two appointees.
Ah.
So, Wilbur Ross is commerce. Gary Cohn
okay.
is so from
cabinet.
The swamp. He's from Goldman, and he's economic advisor, I think. Oh, Elon was there.
Okay. Yeah, Elon went after all. Although,
the code.
And then Safra Katz of Oracle, Tim Cook of Apple.
Now, take a moment and show the Tim Cook photo.
And now, then it's Thiel, Trump, and Pence. So that's the center of the table there. Then to Pence's right, Sheryl Sandberg, COO of Facebook, not Mark Zuckerberg, Larry Page, and Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos ended up going as well. So some of the people we thought wouldn't go did go.
So show the picture of Cook if you would.
Yeah, I'm going to have to write. I'm going to download Chrome, and while I'm doing that.
Oh, dear. Just look at that face.
Oh,
look
Tim. At that face. Oh, Tim. Click on it, Karsten. You'll get it full screen then.
And then, Karsten, the story above all that.
You know, is that maybe the way to do that is to go, show respect for the office, go, listen, but don't look too happy while you're there. Maybe that's the diplomatic way to do it.
Well, I think Saka has a point. If you read Kara's piece, and maybe you want to read it, Leo, without the certain word in it, but what she's saying is, oh hell, we're going to get used. We're going to be part of his reality show.
That's the big story. I think that was the chief theme of this is it's a reality show. And you get invited up and into the tower. But honestly, this is the kind of conversations that any president-elect would be having. Shouldn't we be glad that he's asking people to come and talk?
That was the argument I had around when Elon Musk, according to the story, and Kalanick being advisors to him and, you know, more official role in Musk, especially, you know, I bemoaned that on Twitter. No surprise, you know where I stand. People said, well, isn't it better? And I said, well, no, if you believe that you can change him, and you know, it was like,
what choice do we have? You've got to try to, you know, influence and change his mind.
No.
You've got to say, I could see Elon. When Trump went to the White House, it sounded like Obama had some influence on him. I could see Elon saying, look, Mr. President-elect, you've really got to consider your position on energy, on renewables, even if you don't believe in global warming.
All right. And so Al Gore went up to visit. New York Times does a story.
Yeah, we don't
this
know.
This gives
what...
hopes to environmentalists. Next thing, what does he do? He appoints people who believe the climate change is a hoax to key positions. So, you know, you get used and you got to decide.
Well, but were you used? I mean, you're not legitimizing that. Just because Gore was there doesn't legitimize that. It makes sense. I think everybody understands.
We don't know yet. I mean, the sad truth is, we have no sense of what Trump is really going to do because
you go.
And then, but I will say once or if he starts doing things that are abhorrent to you, then yes, you would go. And I mean, going would legitimize you, but until he actually takes,
I don't think it legitimizes you. I mean, I think it's for instance,
it does,
okay.
It will at a certain point in time.
So he's got he's got Rick Perry in at the Department of Energy. He's got an oil man.
He wants to dismantle it.
Yeah. So in charge of interior. So if you're Elon Musk, you go in and say, look, I don't like this. You shouldn't do this. You got to.
But he already did it. Well, he did it.
But so what do you walk away? You've got to continue the conversation.
Yes. Resist. Well, you may want to end this conversation because I'm going to get bad. You resist.
I don't think that's appropriate. I think the right thing to do is, as with anything, you're glad to be at the table and have the conversation. It does not legitimize it to be at the table.
It Stacey, does think, after think, a certain point in time.
Exactly. And the question is, exactly, Stacey, that's right.
Well, we're not at that point.
I don't think we're at that point in time, though, Jeff.
Stacey
I'm
doesn't
say.
Think we are, and I think that's a legitimate view. I think we are at that point. We aren't. I think we are at that point because He's shown him his character and he's appointed these people. And I think we're already down that road, but that's a disagreement and it's a fine disagreement to have, but I think it's also legitimate to say, I won't go. That's what we're disagreeing about, Leo. Is it, would you think ill of someone who said, no, I choose not to go?
I would do exactly what Tim Cook did, which is he's clearly not happy being there and I don't blame him. Trump said a lot, among other things, that boycott Apple after the San Bernardino thing. Apple has to bring all their manufacturing back to the United States, so we're going to charge them 35% tariff. Of course, he also said Apple can bring its money back at a 10% tax rate instead of 35%. But I think Tim Cook has reason to be uncomfortable and showed his discomfort.
Yeah,
but Jeff you want to be at the table and try to influence him.
And Stacey, you would go.
I would go at this point in time, yes. And so I would listen and try to figure out.
I would go forever. I would go moment that he lets you.
Let's say he does something crazy, like literally actually does deport Muslims.
Yeah.
At that point in time, when he invites you to sit down at the table with him, you're sitting down with somebody who deported.
Yeah, so you make it clear. I went so I could I could yell at him, so I could try to influence him. I don't think it's okay what he did. I don't think it's de facto a sign of approval that you have a conversation with somebody you disagree with.
But it's a big statement, though, to say that none of the tech media, none of the big CEOs of business will meet with this man after he's done something like that. It's drawing a moral line, and you have to do something pretty significant to hit that point. But there's just a point in time where you're like, I'm sorry. And I'm not saying Trump is a serial killer, but you probably wouldn't sit down with Hannibal Lecter. And
you would.
As a journalist, you totally would.
Well, that's the point. I think you would. I think at any point you would. You make it clear. I don't approve of this. I'm here to try to talk some sense into this guy. But you talk to him. And I think it's a huge mistake. And I think it comes more from a feeling of revulsion than a feeling of actual political ardor. It's more like, oh, I don't want to talk to this guy. I think if you care, you talk to him and you keep talking to him and you try to convince him.
When you're being used.
But how are you being used? You're not being used.
You are being used because at a certain point in time, sitting down at the table with the leader who has done something terrible indicates that you still respect him as a leader, that you're still going to the table.
Well, you know what we always say is if it's a president we disagree with, you respect the office. It doesn't necessarily mean you respect the man.
And you could argue that someone has disrespected the office, has tarnished the office so much that you cannot, you don't agree.
And that hasn't happened yet. He's not even in the office.
No. But, right. Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that that is where we are. I'm just saying that that is totally something that could happen. Yeah. Hopefully it will not.
Tim Cook, even if I'm revolted by the idea, I go. And I think he did go for that reason. And you look at his expression. If you know, it's easy to get a bad expression on somebody's face if they're animated. Yeah. You could freeze frame any one of these shows and make us look like. But
and it's been done. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm not going to assume. But that's why I'm most interested in what they say and how they look as they come out. I'd like to see the video of that. But you can, even with body language, if not with words. And I would say even with words, you should say, we're not happy.
In a sense,
we want more H-1B. This happens all the time. We want more H-1B visas, whatever. This happens all the time.
But you're also talking to him like he's a legit politician or like an adult. It's kind of like, again, I'm not saying he's reached this point. But, in some people's minds, he has.
Well, I think that's part of the problem. I think that's as bad as, when the Republicans refused to have anything to do with President Obama and said, whatever he says, we're just going to stymie it. That's exactly the position. That's exactly where we got into problems in this country. We need to kind of figure out a way to. Now, maybe you'll say, oh, well, you're assuming that he's influential. That he could be influenced. He's influenceable.
Yes.
Right.
Well, I think so we have to. If not, then what is the other choice? Then what do you do?
Is it too soon, Leo, to sign for 600 technology people to have signed a statement saying that they're not going to build a Muslim?
No, that's appropriate. That's exactly what you should do. And you should go in and talk to Mr. Trump and say, by the way, don't ask us for help in that, because that is such an outre idea. It's so much against the principles of this great country that we will absolutely refuse to.
Okay, so let me ask the question another way. So you have a spot at that table today. If you don't use that to say, we will not build that registry for you, is that an opportunity wasted?
Possibly. But, you know, you can also say it in an open letter to the president. You can say it in a press conference. You can say it in a press
release. Which means you don't have to be there.
You don't have to be there, but you have to be there if you want to talk to him. And by the way, it's not just notice. It's not just him. There's a whole – many of his team
family.
Are there. Well, but also members of the future cabinet, his vice president, his advisors. This is a – I think you'd be wrong to turn down this opportunity, however you feel. This is an opportunity to say something.
We have the full range here. Stacey's in the moderate and sensible middle. You say you have to go and keep on going. I say don't go, and Stacey says there's a line.
Well,
right, Stacey?
Here's my question. Do you care more about the country or about your own personal beliefs and ideology?
It's not just about your own personal beliefs when you're the CEO of a big company like that. You are representing an industry.
Well, right. But you care about the country more than...
It could be that you care about the country, and that's why you don't meet with him.
Yeah.
I mean, that
that's
still
not
a rational...
path to progress, though. I mean, where does that go?
It may be because then people are like, well, this guy can't get the job done. You know, let's bring Mike Pence on.
This is exactly what the Republicans did to Obama, by the way.
Let's give cover to Congress to disagree with him to show that there's a political force.
You write letters. You let Congress know. We disagree. We forcefully disagree. We think it's the wrong thing to do. But first you go and you talk to him and you hear him. I think you have to.
And we're not – well, okay, so Jeff may be saying this, but we're not saying that they shouldn't hear him at this point in time. And I think actually Mark Benioff's strategy is really a good one.
Why is Benioff not there?
Did he get invited?
If he did get invited, I could see Benioff deciding not to go.
He's enough of a maverick to just –
firebrand.
Firebrand to do whatever he wants.
So
I'm surprised Musk was there. I'm really surprised. I thought Musk would be that firebrand who says, I go my own way.
I think Elon is a sensible guy who says...
Musk is pretty coldly practical.
I need to influence the direction that this next administration takes, and I'm going to do everything I can to influence it.
There's also the cynical view is that I influence it for the benefit of my company and, you know, screw the rest.
You want to be in the room where it happens. If you're not in the room, you're not...
This is not where it happens. This is where the cameras come.
Yeah, this is not where influence happens. This is
the reality show.
I really do believe that. I believe that Donald Trump does this for... This is how he presents and shapes coverage in media.
I understand that that's part of the kind of the problem people have with this is they feel like they're pawns in an attempt to... create stories and create news, but isn't that how Washington
and we
works?
in media, I mean, ABC News last night led with Kanye West visiting Trump versus Tillerson, the head of Exxon, being
interesting,
appointed Secretary of State.
Huh?
That's bad news judgment.
That's bad judgment. Well, it depends what you're judging for. It's probably
if you're judging for economics.
It's what people want to see.
Squirrel.
I know. But you know what? Trump is a media genius, and it's going to be the first new media presidency, and he's a master of it. And I told you should have shut Twitter down before this happened.
So Twitter, talk to me about Jack and not.
All right, I have my Chrome up, so I can now actually look at articles.
Okay, I see that's from.
And open them, and I can actually participate in this conversation in a reasonable way.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize. Okay,
here's the Politico story: Twitter cut out of Trump tech meeting over what failed emoji deal. Twitter was told it was bound. Oh, this can't be true. Bounced from Wednesday's meeting between tech executives and President-elect Donald Trump in retribution for refusing during the campaign to allow an emoji version of the hashtag Crooked Hillary.
Oh, my gosh.
That can't possibly be true.
Oh, come on. Think about the tweets of Boeing, the Boeing tweets. Think about how
No, I can see the retribution thing I buy.
What don't you buy?
The retribution. Really? Really? They tried to get an emoji version of Crooked Hillary?
Oh, they even tried. Oh.
Do you think they tried that? This sounds like fake news. This sounds like this is a plant by somebody who likes to mess with people. That can't be true. Maybe it could. I don't not believe anything anymore.
I don't not believe anything.
There's no, exactly. There's abs, and that's part of the problem with fake news. I don't not believe anything anymore.
Yeah,
it's absolutely conceivable that there would be some retribution. We've seen Donald Trump do that many times, many, many, many times before. If you ask me, Donald Trump should be shaking Jack Dorsey's freaking hand. I don't.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, I think idiot, savant, or genius, I don't know which, but somehow he is a master of manipulation. I mean, you know, probably coming from his background, running, you know, being part of beauty pageants, the wrestling, world wrestling, and The Apprentice. I think he's probably learned a lot about media. Although that's all old media, he's certainly learned a lot about new media. They were masterful in manipulating, yeah. And continue to be masterful in manipulating Twitter.
Yeah. And, I'm surprised he hasn't tweeted the meeting.
Oh, he will.
Oh, yeah.
His tweets, really, those are late night affairs.
They're late. They're usually when he's mad at someone.
Yeah. You know what? I'm glad I'm not in his position because I could see myself doing that. I've had, and Jeff, you've had intemperate tweets.
Oh, Lord knows have I.
We shouldn't really cast stones in our glass houses at people who have intemperate tweets, should we? He's the president-elect. It's a little different now.
It's the power. It's using the power.
Well, things like saying, person. I'm going to take down Boeing stock, or I'm going to take down Lockheed Martin stock.
Or this union.
Or I'm going to take down this union guy. That's petty.
It's abusive power.
It's abusive. It's
maybe he doesn't think of it as abusive of power. Maybe he's just pissed and he says it. Oh, he does. Okay.
Listen to, I heard an interview with Megyn Kelly. Read her book, but I also heard an interview with her. When Trump got mad at her, he said, I'm going to use my beautiful beautiful Twitter account and my 17 million followers or whatever the number is to get you. So okay, he's very well aware of the power of that.
Oh, yeah.
I would also say the intemperate tweeting thing, and I may be overstepping, but I think that's that might be a you guys thing and maybe it's even a guy thing. Like I very rarely tweet without thinking because I'm aware that it's going out a lot of places. So that means things like I don't share information on people. I don't talk about things that really upset me. I don't always give my full opinion because it would be crazy. I don't have a lot of leeway for bad tweets.
And you're a good person. And this is why, Stacey, and we've always known that about you. And Jeff and I are far from good people.
Well, I'm at the other end of the spectrum again. Yes.
But this is why that happens. We talked about this a couple of years ago. There was a great article, I think, in The Atlantic. And it's an understandable confusion because Twitter feels like, water cooler talk. It feels very informal, quick, off the cuff. And a lot of what we write is written in the style of something that's an off the cuff, offhand remark. Unfortunately, right. The nature of Twitter is it lives forever. And so at the same time as you're in a medium that is really looks like and feels like and emotionally is much like something very offhand and impermanent, it is the exact opposite. And so that's where this disconnect happens. And that's one of the reasons I think kids don't use Twitter as much as Snapchat.
Yeah, because the impermanence of it. Stacey, I've been grappling with this. I started writing a piece because I got very intemperate one night.
F-word.
I used it in,
oh, was
in
this
in
the
a
heart
particular
attack?
Particular way. Did you get it? Did you get letters too, Leo?
No. I follow you on Twitter.
There's a guy who
I get an alert when Jeff tweets any time of the day.
This guy sent a letter to everybody around me. And so the next day I tweeted that upon reflection and morning light, I regretted the incivility of one word in the tweet, but not the rest. I'm thinking about this. And here I've been writing about the angry white men who elected Trump, who we didn't listen to. And I'm saying that empathetically. I'm saying that there's an anger there that we didn't understand, we didn't listen to, we didn't reflect back.
And more than a few women.
Then what am I? What am I? I'm being an angry white man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. My response to the angry white man is to be an angry white man.
Yeah.
And so, I think Stacey, you're right. It's is it a guy thing or just a crazy person thing? I don't know.
I see plenty of crazy it gets women the better on of Twitter,
me.
Too.
It gets the better of me.
Rosie O'Donnell is a classic, right?
Well, she's in a very privileged and yes. She's in a different position. But hey, you want to talk about actions on Google and Weave and Brillo? I know you guys do.
We will. You're trying to change the subject, and I don't blame you one cotton pick a bit. In fact, really, we've milked this one to death. Let me just quickly go through this Yahoo story, and then I would very much like to talk to you. Yahoo has, this is from Yahoo Tech, so I think it's true. They're quoting the Boy Genius Report, so I don't understand if this counts as an official acknowledgement from Yahoo, since it's on a Yahoo page, or it's just like an automated repeat of the Boy Genius Report. Yahoo has reportedly confirmed the existence of a hack that affects more than 1 billion user accounts. Yahoo said it's likely distinct from that other hack, you remember, with hundreds of millions of Yahoo customers. So if for some reason CNBC is reporting that Yahoo has confirmed the existence of a new hack and it affects more than a billion users and it's a different hack. I'd like to know is the time and date of the hack. So in other words, if you change your password, as I did, and I hope everybody did, after the first 500 million people were hacked, do you need to change it again, or should you just get off Yahoo completely right now? Say forget it, goodbye. Unbelievable.
This one, Yahoo believes that it happened in August 2013.
Oh, okay. So it is a second hack, but
it is a second hack. It
came
believes
before
this,
we all learned about the first hack. So presumably, any changes we made after the first hack also protect us. However, they have information.
The investigation, okay, so here's Yahoo's press release. The stolen account, user account information may have included names, email addresses, telephone numbers, DOBs, hash passwords, and in some cases, encrypted or unencrypted security questions and answers. But the information does not include passwords in clear text, what? Payment card data or bank account information.
Okay.
What passwords are being stored in clear text? Are those the ones you're just sending over email to people? Sorry.
Whether they were storing passwords in clear text, which they weren't.
Well, they shouldn't be doing that in 2013 even.
I agree. By the way, I now have to retract my skepticism over the crooked Hillary emoji.
Okay, good. Somebody looked it up. Good. All right.
This is the Medium post from Gary Kobe, director of digital advertising and fundraising for the Trump campaign.
From when?
This is 13 November 2016. More specific, this is his tweet. CEO Jack Dorsey personally made a call to restrict us. We had an upfront deal. This is from the Trump campaign. We had an upfront deal with Twitter where we commit to spending a certain amount on advertising in exchange receive discounts, perks, and this is the key phrase, custom solutions, $5 million spend, blah, blah, blah. What they wanted was a custom hashtag emoji. They wanted to launch emojis for the first debate. One was a contrasting emoji for the hashtag Crooked Hillary. They were going to be featured in our promoted trend. This is what it was going to look like. This was designed and approved by Twitter, probably by an agency inside Twitter, to be used with Crooked Hillary. It's a hand holding a bag of money. Then I met with TW in New York at Trump Tower, I guess, Twitter. To tweak the already approved emoji designs, pushing the envelope, the hand money bag emoji evolved into a running stick figure with a money bag.
Jesus.
The TW team thought this had a good chance of getting approved since all that was changed was a hand to a stick figure. Anyway, a day after day, Jack Dorsey was never named, just Adam Bain, the TW told me the new design was causing, was causing a lot of heartburn in big meetings. In fact, the Trump campaign in the person of Gary Kobe confirmed they wanted a custom emoji and Jack Dorsey blocked it. Okay. I now believe that story. That was unbelievable.
Yep.
Ta-da! The fakest sounding news can sometimes be real.
You just got to do some research.
Just gotta believe, Leo.
I believe.
That's how crazy this world is. Now, the things you can't believe are probably true.
I'm just going to hide behind my snap spectacles from now on.
And record it all.
I am going to record it all. Hey, what if somebody wore this
to Trump Tower for a meeting.
I imagine the Secret Service would tell you to take it
probably
off.
Probably. No. Yeah, they take your phone, too, I'm sure.
The Secret Service seems pretty good at their job. I know they had the fence climbing incidences, but in general.
So I heard something today from a very reliable news company who went and did some stuff at Trump Tower with Trump. When they went to the apartment, evidently, they had to wear booties to not schmutz the carpeting.
So this is a...
I make all contractors do that when they come to my house.
Yeah, everybody who comes to our house does that too. But there is, and it may be a character assassination, but I think it sounds kind of true. There is the story that our president-elect is a germaphobe, much like Howard Hughes was.
Yes.
That the bedding on the plane, for instance, is changed, not merely changed each time it's used, but thrown away and new bedding is purchased. You notice he never shakes hands. There's some evidence right of that. Anyway.
Yes.
But booties, I'm with you. Don't go tramping your dirty contractor feet all over my...
your dirty journalist feet.
Hey, journalists...
They tramp through mud all the time.
Yeah, we're muckrakers.
All right, so what did you... You had something for us, Stacey, that... You were trying to dangle a shiny object in there.
I was. I was like, look at the Google Actions. Google Home, you guys.
So I'm excited about this. Yeah.
I am too.
Super stoked. It's not out yet. So basically, there's two separate things. Actions on Google, which did y'all talk about that last week? Did we talk about that last week? Did it come out then?
I don't think so.
No, not really.
No, because it's Wednesday. It came out Thursday. Sorry.
Yeah, Brain. It's always hard to know because we talk about everything so obsessively all the time. So let me zoom in on this and we can actually watch it.
This video, this is big for us in media. It's big all over.
All right, here we go. Watch.
I passed it around the journalism school.
So this is a detailed... Do you have my audio or did I mute?
Because he has an accent, watch the closed caption. It's hilarious.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. Hold on. I gotta make sure I'm not muted. I'm muted. Okay. I hear a little puppy.
If I mute my microphone, does that help? If I mute it on...
It doesn't, because then we can't hear him.
Well, that's kind of the point.
No, I want to hear him. I don't care. Okay, ready? Yeah. Here we go. I'll back it up just a little bit. Here we go.
Through a detailed example of a user interacting with a conversation action. Think about something as simple as helping a user choose what to have for dinner based on their mood and the ingredients they have around. Let's call this action Personal Chef. The user first needs to invoke your action with something like, okay, Google, let me talk to Personal Chef.
This is very similar to what happens with the Echo, right? You, if you want to play...
No, it's very different, and we'll talk about that.
Oh.
Ooh, right. I can't wait for Stacey's analysis. Ooh, good.
Continuing on.
The assistant will then introduce your action, and now the user is talking to you directly. From this point onwards, you get to interact with the user and have a conversation. Okay, Google, let me talk to Personal Chef.
Sure, here's Personal Chef. Hi, I'm your Personal Chef. What are
That's
you in
the difference.
For?
Because it's not just, it's a new person.
It's a new...
What passes you off to the other company. Oh,
yes, and that's really interesting because, well, two reasons. One, it's like you... Total new thing, so not the Echo. But two, you can create branded voice experiences. So if you think your personal chef should sound like that nice lady, great. You could have like your current spokesperson be your voice from an ad perspective. I think it's really interesting and really smart. Okay, go ahead.
You might find, keep going into how it's made because I think it'll find it interesting.
Well, it's kind of cold outside, so I'd like something to warm me up, like a hot soup, and I want it fast.
All right, what protein would you like to use?
I have some chicken and also some canned tomatoes.
Some cancer mottos.
Okay, cancer mottos, what?
You should try the chicken tomato recipe I found on example.com.
Sounds good to me.
That's the classic Google auto translate.
Isn't it?
I got some cancer mottos. All right. Okay, so it's not like it had a camera in your refrigerator. He had to tell her what he had.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But the way that you have to anticipate the conversation and the way you code that using their AI structure is really interesting, right, Stacey?
Yes. Notice how he phrased his question. So he was like, it's cold outside, so I want something to warm me up. And from that, you know, they took soup and whatever And then she asked proteins, like she knew that he wanted a recipe. I know it was a cooking thing. So, but it was actually not a direct request for anything. And that I think is really cool. And on the back end, it's really complicated to get that right. Despite the cancer mottos or cancer mottos.
Well, ironically, she understood what he was saying. Yeah, it was the auto translate on YouTube.
YouTube, yeah. Maybe they're not the same systems.
Evidently not.
So this is a pretty rich interaction. Think about all the sentences I spoke and how the action needs to extract the meaning out of this. How would you implement this? If you're an expert in the area of natural language processing,
so now this is going to be
you can use the conversation
for developers how they would do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want to keep going?
It's actually really cool.
For a few minutes. Okay. Yeah,
it allows you to process the raw strings that contain the spoken text from the user. You can then use the Actions SDK that includes all the tools and libraries you need to build the actions. However, if you don't want to process the user's transcribed speech yourself, you can use one of the tools that have integrated with Actions on Google. One of these tools is API.ai, which provides an intuitive graphical user interface to create conversational interfaces, and it does the heavy lifting in terms of managing conversational state and filling out slots in forms. This means you'll no longer need to process the raw strings. API AI can do this for you. To handle a conversation, you use the API.ai developer console to create an intent. This is where you define the information you need from the user. For our example, finding a kitchen recipe, this would be the type of food, the ingredients, the temperature, and the cooking time. You then specify example sentences. API.ai parses these sentences and uses them to train its machine learning algorithm to process other possible sentences from your users. You don't have to write regular expressions or a parser. You can also manually set what the acceptable values are for each piece of information. Once this is done, API.ai uses these definitions to extract meaning out of spoken sentences. The user can provide information naturally, out of order, all at once, or in pieces. The action can ask follow-up questions as needed. Pretty neat, right? Once you've set up everything in the API.ai console, you can then test it all out immediately with example sentences. Then you can test your project with the web simulator, preview it on Google Home, or deploy the full project to Google, all from within API.ai. Next, you can connect up an optional webhook to your intent to allow it to interact with a backend server. When all the details you need are filled in, your webhook is called with the appropriate details provided as JSON data.
So you don't really have to know anything at all about understanding language.
Bingo, exactly.
Wow.
They give you everything in. Like, think about all the things, like, I could have Google Home talk to people through, like, one of the things I want to do is most common question I get is, Stacy, I want to start in the smart home. What should I do? But there's too many decision trees that branch out from that for me to, like, create, like, a nice article. But I could do a chatbot that actually does all that. So do you have an Android or an iPhone, you know? Then I could route them one way. Do you want to have a hub or you just want Wi-Fi Bluetooth? And so I could create this conversational interaction that is way better than doing like a flow chart or a how-to article for my readers, listeners, people.
Yeah. You're going to do that?
Yes.
No, maybe. You're not.
Oh, actually, no, I might be.
I flirt with this all the time. But it's just then you sit down and it's quite as easy as it looks.
No, it's more if you have a big database of stuff,
right?
And you're creating
a database.
Yeah,
if you're Epicurious, right. Yeah, you do. If you're Epicurious and you have recipes, right? If you have how-to things like Stacy does, that's when it gets interesting. All you're doing is creating a bridge between the two, so somebody can get to the information they want. You're prompting them to make the right kinds of searches, basically, right, Stacy?
That's the hope. Yeah. And if they now what they didn't show and what I guess I should play with this and see if I can make one that fails, because I'm curious what happens when your interaction.
Yeah.
When Google doesn't understand you.
Right. What happens then?
So hopefully in an ideal situation, it would prompt you with something that might help. It would give you like, hey,
of you.
I'm not sure what you asked. Do you want to cook a, you know, meal with meat or chicken? Do you want to make a salad or a breakfast meal?
Well, it gets, you could get more complicated. I would love to. I've always thought we should have some actions that play play Twit segments and things like that.
Ooh.
You know.
So you can do, well, you can do that on the Echo. Oh, okay. So can I like tie this to some other stuff?
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm getting excited.
No, don't get sorry. I love it.
I'm so excited.
Okay. So yesterday also, Microsoft announced its Cortana SDK and its Translate stuff. So you guys should look that up because this is kind of like what the Echo does with their skills. So Actions, Google Actions is akin to Echo Skills, right? And then Amazon at AWS reInvent put out its own machine learning stuff, so its own artificial intelligence stuff with Amazon Lex. Is it Amazon Lex or AWS Lex and AWS Poly? And then, so what we basically have now is Microsoft has done an SDK, Google has an SDK for personal assistant, and so does Amazon, right? And now Amazon has done speech to text and text to speech and computer vision, much like Google has. Microsoft also did something with Translate, which is they have some really powerful speech stuff. So I don't know. Did you guys follow that? Did that make any sense?
Yeah.
So basically, the battle is being joined. Yeah. All the pieces. Yeah. We've established what the big pieces are and everybody's got something. And now next year, we're going to see what people can do with it. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it is so great. So, Stacey, if you have Apple, Amazon, and Google, who are you betting on?
Okay,
who
so I have
right,
Microsoft.
Who has the right pieces?
Apple
and Microsoft.
Apple wasn't even in there.
Apple doesn't have anything because they want to protect your privacy or something. They have Siri.
They're focused on privacy. So,
they have Siri. They could theoretically do a Apple
so this is,
device.
There's a big question because is it your voice interaction that's going to win? How well you can handle speech? Is it your AI or is it your ecosystem?
I think ecosystem ultimately is what's going to make the distinction. Even, I mean, you could assume, for instance, Google Home and Echo are roughly equal in ability to recognize your voice.
But I don't think that's true at all. I think Google has a way better handle on what I actually want it to do. So I did a video. It's the cheesiest video, but I asked the Echo, what does a dog sound like? And then I asked Google what a dog sounds like. And if you want, you can see the video.
No, I agree with you. So in both cases, I presume they understood what you were asking.
Right, but
it was the response that was different. So I'm not disagreeing. That's not what I was saying is, in terms of voice recognition, understanding your voice, they're equal. Mm-hmm. And
it's exactly
what I was saying, which is how the knowledge base, the database differs, and going forward, I think even more important, the API, the integration. Right now, there's 5,000 Echo skills. That gives Echo a real leg up on Google, but Google has a leg up in terms of understanding what you're saying. And when it comes to knowledge graph, which is where the dog bark or the whale sounds come in, mm-hmm. Google has its knowledge
Google's
graph.
Way ahead.
Amazon never had a knowledge graph.
And Google knows more about you as a person. They have a more well-rounded view of you.
Amazon knows what you buy. I mean, Amazon knows some things. Yeah.
But Amazon's developer platform, so the way what we just saw with Google, that is far more flexible than what Amazon offers people today. You have to actually type in your commands for things.
Right.
You don't get the ability to be like, oh, a protein, it could also mean chicken, beef, or...
Yeah, no, if Google can really make it easy to integrate, artificial intelligence and learning, it'll have it. So that's what I kind of mean is ultimately the API is what's going to win, I think.
So it's in Google's interest to bring this to absolutely everything that Google does, and they're going to open it up to other companies.
Right.
Amazon has less that they need to do it with.
Although they're making deals, the late great Pebble, product that they had to kill was a little, basically an Echo in your pocket, right?
Can I just tell you, I got my refund on that and I'm so sad that I'm not going to get
it. Wouldn't we have liked to have that?
Yeah.
And apparently Google just acquired a company called Chronologics, which was going to make an Alexa powered, Echo. I don't want to say
Echo.
The A word. An Echo powered co-watch. And it's expected Google will put that into Android Wear. So talk to your watch, talk to your phone, talk to your house, talk to your car.
Okay, so then the other side to this, because this is only half the problem, half the battle, half the problem, half the setup. Yesterday, Google basically detailed its plans for Weave and what used to be called Brillo, and now they're calling, oh my God, what are they called?
Android Things.
Thank you. I was like, my brain just stopped. Things. Right. So Things is the OS kind of vision, right? For individual devices, and Weave is a communications protocol that's going to basically, Google calls it traits, but it's like, this is what a light bulb can do. This is a light bulb that can turn on, it can turn off, these are the colors, blah, blah, blah. So everything that speaks Weave now knows what a light bulb does.
I'm so glad you're here, because I had no idea what they were talking about here. And I was thinking to myself, Stacey will understand this.
I will. Okay. So what's exciting there is Google Home supports Weave, and Belkin, okay, here we go. Belkin, Honeywell, Wink, First Alert, and a bunch of other companies are also supporting Weave in their products, which means soon those things will work with Google Home. Wemo's already said that they're going to put out something. I talked to Wink, and they're going to put out something. I don't have a time frame on that one, though. So we're about to see a lot more, thanks to Weave, integrations with Google Home. And then they're also, for those of you guys who've been following this, Nest had its own version of Weave that was called Nest Weave.
Yeah.
And they're going to finally integrate those two things so we don't have to think about that anymore.
Good.
Yay.
Well, it makes sense for them to start consolidating and kind of making a user, facing product, or having companies make user-facing products. They announced Weave and Brillo 2 years ago.
Yeah.
They did. But it's not easy.
Yeah.
They didn't know what they were quite doing. And I will say, and we talk about this on the podcast, to use Weave, Google's confirmed to me that you have to have you have to use the Weave server. So you have to use the Google Cloud, which means if you want to do AWS. Uh-huh.
And you know why that is. No, yeah. Yeah, they're doing it for security, a.k.a. we want a database of everything you say.
That is the other thing, yes.
Yeah, it's for security. Security is now becoming the word that people use. When they asked Nintendo, when they asked Miyamoto at Nintendo why you could only play the new Mario Run game, which comes out tomorrow, online, there's no offline play, he said security. And credit to the interviewer, Mashable, who said, by security you mean anti-piracy.
DRM.
Yeah. And he said, but also credit to Shigeru, who said, yeah, that's what I mean. He did three paragraphs on security. And really, what he meant is anti-piracy. And of course, when Google says security, they don't mean anti-piracy. They mean so we can collect all the data.
Well, they mean so they collect all the data, but they also need to understand there's a huge fragmentation
problem.
Well,
there's good reason for them to collect all the data. I'm not saying that.
It's not just collecting the data, though. It's also being able to offer assurances on to understand what's working with Weave and what isn't. So you can get all that log data from these devices, because right now troubleshooting a connected device.
Right.
Oh. You think troubleshooting networking is hard? Echo does
that I think a lot of people don't know. Actually, we were talking about this on Windows Weekly a minute ago. Because Microsoft has been talking about a Cortana platform, and it's unclear that initially they implied that you needed to have a device with a screen to use it. And Paul was saying,
but you don't.
Right. It turns out maybe you don't, but it was unclear. And Paul was saying, well, that's just dumb because the Echo doesn't need a screen. But the Echo really, in fact, as we know, Amazon's doing an Echo with a screen for the kitchen. And the Echo really does have a screen. If you have a Kindle Fire tablet or you're running the Echo app, you can see what you said. You can confirm that Echo, you can help Echo learn. If it's there, you can see the music that's now playing. You can see a lot of stuff. So there is a secondary screen. It's just not always on, but you have it. And I think there's something to be said for that. Anyway, we're going to see Cortana. I still think Apple is not out of this game. And
I don't think they're out of it, but
they're behind.
Their vision for HomeKit, and this is something worth thinking about. We are very excited about this because we are super nerds. When you talk to other people, they're not thinking about SDKs and they're not thinking about that. They're thinking about the experience. And Apple's like, you know what? Everyone pays attention to us. Let's not blur what's happening with tech talk. Let's just get it done and offer it.
They don't do it in public. They don't pre-announce. They just kind of do it. And it'll all become full-blown.
That being said, they are behind
I think
their partners are kind of like.
Let's face it, though. Google was behind. Echo's 2 years older, and they're catching up pretty quick.
Well, yeah. Once you've built the kind of paradigm, I guess, which is kind of what Amazon did, it's easy to come in and be like, oh, let us improve upon this.
Yeah. Google, we now understand what Google's doing with a self-driving car. It's not going to build a self-driving car. It's going from being a moonshot to an independent alphabet company called, I kind of like this name, Waymo.
I kind of like it too.
Waymo. I like
Waymo
it.
Waymo vehicles.
Waymo vehicles. It will not be a vehicle without steering wheel and gas and brake. It will be a platform they sell to other car manufacturers.
So they won't make cars. Is that?
That's what they're saying.
Speculation. That's what they're saying straight
and
out.
I think that's, well, all of this is speculation. Except for the Waymo part.
John, I was like, no, they confirmed Waymo.
Yeah. John Krafcik, who is the new CEO, told reporters at a press event yesterday that Waymo is a company with a mission to make it safe and easy for people and things to move around. What you're feeling, this is all a quote, what you're feeling from the Waymo team is confidence that we can bring this technology to people. We're getting close. We're getting ready. It's time to tell the world about that. He does say our next step as Waymo will be to let people use our vehicles to do everything, things like run errands. So it sounds like, but I think that they mentioned that they're partnering with Chrysler, right? Fiat Chrysler. And in fact, it's not clear. I think you're right, Jeff, that this is speculation.
Yeah. I couldn't get a definitive.
Yeah.
There's also the rumors about, or not was it rumors about they're going to work with Chrysler on the thing. Is
right.
that real? Fiat, are they going to make their own? Are they going to offer?
You know what? Let me log into my account. Cause this is of course, Amira Frade, who's got the great connections at Google, writing for the information, and I pay money for this. So let's.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, it's well worth it. They've been breaking even more stories than ever, frankly.
It's they're doing a great job.
Yeah.
They have a kind of fun business model too.
Yeah. $400 a year, that's a good business model.
I got it on half off just a couple weeks ago.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
Too late for all of you.
Jessica. You know, this is all part of that. We've talked about it before. The new CFO, Ruth Porat, belt tightening and spinning it out of the moon launch means now it's a company that has to have performance. They're going to have to do a profit loss statements and so forth. So chauffeur, what is chauffeur? The broader strategic change allowed the leaders of chauffeur, as the self-driving unit is known at the company, to consider launching a commercial ride sharing service. This is a Amir at the information, with autonomous vehicles by the end of next year, like a year from now.
There's a lot of rushing going on here. I mean, supposedly, Uber is offering autonomous rides now in Cleveland and San Francisco.
Right, but there's still a driver, so you can't really tell if you're. I mean, that'd be like me saying get in the car, Jeff, and I'm going to let my Tesla drive us over the Golden Gate Bridge.
That made me feel better or worse?
Should make you feel better. Whether chauffeur can launch what this is Amir Rafrati again. Whether chauffeur can launch what is called a robo taxi service in that time frame depends on the performance of a new self-driving car prototype manufactured for Google by Fiat Chrysler. The first of the prototypes are due to be in chauffeur's hands by the end of this year, and then they have a deal to increase production with an electric hybrid, the Pacifica minivan, which retails for more than $42,000 without the extra Google hardware and software, into the hundreds of vehicles. Car could then be used in the new service. So maybe, 2017, this is rushing along, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think we were all thinking, oh, it's going to be, 2025, 2030. This is way off of that. They're pushing this.
Well, they said, I mean, everybody's committed to 2020. I mean, for what it's worth, and that's coming up.
Sergey Brin, who's had a hand in chauffeur from nearly the beginning, had been hoping the unit would continue to work on a system for vehicles without a wheel. According to Amir's sources, the self-driving car unit's former chief, Chris Urmson, had also wanted to pursue this approach. He left this summer, less than a year after Mr. Page hired Mr. Krafcik to lead a chauffeur and bring much-needed structure and urgency to the program. So,
wait, without a wheel? Like a steering wheel?
Yeah, remember the Google, little Google car didn't, yeah, no, it has four wheels.
That's where I was like, wait.
Yeah, no, but this car has no, in fact, I haven't ridden it, but I know people who have, and I say it's a very uncanny feeling because you just get in and it drives off. But it's like Disneyland, right? It's like a little thing at Disneyland. It doesn't
Which,
have,
by the way, is why voice recognition and understanding your instructions better be damn good.
Better be good.
Stop!
Otherwise, you'll end up in a container and on some island somewhere.
What was that show that did that?
Silicon Valley.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Thank you for recognizing the.
I couldn't handle that show.
You didn't like it?
It was too close to life. I was like, oh, this is not funny. This is terrible.
That's what Bill Atkinson said. He said, I can't watch it. It's too close to the real thing. I said, I don't find it funny. I find it depressing.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I guess I'm just too distant from it. I don't know.
All the way out there in Petaluma?
Yeah. And I have a car that goes like doors like that. Uber CEO Travis Kalanick got a test ride in one of Google's Lexus self-driving prototypes in the fall of 2014. Within a few months, Kalanick had decided to develop the technology at Uber and made a huge acquisition of the team from Carnegie Mellon. And
they're picking people up in San Francisco
right,
now.
Right.
There is a human driver.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I just have to interject. I'm looking at the Twitter feed to see what's going on with the event.
Are they
Dave Pell put up that picture of the sad Jeff Bezos and said this is Amazon's new 404 page.
Sad Jeff.
Yeah.
Sad Jeff Bezos. So are they still in there though?
I'm guessing so.
I can't believe they would be.
They can't be, but I'm not seeing anybody come out.
Hasn't Trump gone off to do his steak dinners yet? Come on.
Yeah.
It's like 6 o'clock.
He does like the early bird special, I hear.
Hey, you know what?
No,
I'm getting hungry and it's only 5.
I'm teasing. I joke. I'm a kidder.
A joker?
All right, well,
a toker?
A toker and a midnight smoker.
Midnight smoker.
Let's see here. Looking at the Twitter feed.
Yeah, I'm trying to see here.
I just want to say one more thing about Twitter. The other problem I have with Twitter is all it takes is a few people to tweet about something and it's become a story as if the world is rising up in arms because 10 people tweet something and everybody acts that way. And I don't think that's the case. Here's the picture.
So that's also a benefit of Twitter, though, because you can see things that otherwise the media wouldn't let you see that are arguably worth knowing about.
Jeff does kind of have a vacant stare. Yeah,
it's a perfect 404. It's a great joke. I'm lost. I don't know where I am.
But again, you can freeze frame anything.
I know,
it's not really fair. Here's some more. Here's Elon getting into it. Look at, see, I'm telling you, Elon's saying stuff and Donald's listening. Look, see, they're talking. And then Tim's going, how soon before I get out of here?
Is that Trump water?
It is.
Oh, okay. Oh, I was just curious.
Good catch.
OMG. Notice no one's drinking it.
The Oracle CEO's got her.
Oh, Safra opened hers.
I mean, maybe they just.
I mean, you take it as a souvenir? I would.
I don't. Well, so and they didn't have. Did they have glasses? All of them in front of them?
Yeah, they have glasses. You know, they don't. Okay. But she clearly, Safra just drank it right out of the bottle.
Well, yeah.
She was so enraptured. Look how enraptured she is with Elon.
Yeah.
I think Elon's very charismatic. I wouldn't be surprised if he but Tim just seems like. What is going on there? What is going on? But Elon's buddies with Thiel, right? They were together starting PayPal. I don't know if they're still friends, but they certainly know each other well. Here's Eric Schmidt. He's I think Eric's actually checking his Facebook feed there. Larry seems happy. See, Jeff isn't completely vacant. They're all talking to Cheryl. It's kind of neat to see them all in the same room, I have to say. Tim is just a sourpuss. He just does not. There is not one good picture, not one picture of Tim smiling. And you know what? If I were Tim, that's probably what
I wonder if he sat down with the PR people beforehand and said, how do I survive this? Look unhappy.
Yeah.
Look grim.
Interesting. It is a reality show. And you know what? We're completely sucked into it, watching it. There's Safra. I think Al Gore's just standing in the lobby waiting and hoping he'll be invited in. That looks like, is that Gore? No. All right. Zenny Jardin says, this is what you look like when you realize you'll be the first one in the room headed to the camps. Now, come on now. No one's going to be going. And I love that story about why Jack Dorsey wasn't invited, which is now, I think, the case. All right. Still waiting for people exiting. We'll watch for that.
They've all disappeared.
A puff of smoke, a greasy black puff of smoke. Let's see what else. There's actually a lot of news this week.
Yeah, there is.
Google decided not to give the usual gifts every year. Google gives phones and Chromebooks and stuff to its employees. Instead, they're going to take that $30 million and give it to charity. Nice.
Just like I.O.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Which, by the way, is the right thing to do in both cases.
And incidentally,
we do that for our wedding.
This is the. Did you? You didn't give bridesmaids and
you did. You did not
gifts?
Get candied almonds or a pack of cards with our name. You got a. We donated to Make-A-Wish. I was going to do Planned Parenthood, but my in-laws were against that.
You shouldn't do it, and I'll tell you why. Because it implies that, you know, like you're planning parenthood.
Yes.
Or not.
But sick kids, everyone could get behind.
Everybody can get behind sick kids. Incidentally, this is the other thing you do besides go to those meetings, which I think you do. Google also is hiring lobbyists, and in this case, hiring Republican lobbyists to get into the conversation. You don't want
Facebook has always had Republican lobbyists there. Yeah. So Google's getting
any good business, including, by the way, I'll point out the Trump Organization donates to both parties and wants to have a seat at the table no matter who is in the White House, because you have to do business in that country. That's part of the deal.
I think – I haven't really said this to my bosses yet here, but I think that as a school, we should be recruiting conservative students.
Well, hell yeah.
Now, it's not going to be a very comfortable position for them. We have to make a safe space for them, so to speak.
Well, it's a diversity program.
Paradoxically. But, well, it's also just – it's good for all the other students to be able to have discussions.
Absolutely.
One of my – in my intro to journalism class at UT, the guy who did some hyper-Christian magazine was our journalism professor. And he was – I mean, this was all these mostly liberals who go into the media like, I'm going to change the world and do good in society. And he's like this hardcore Christian conservative. Good. And we were just like, whoa.
It's good for you.
It was.
It's good for you.
Yeah, it is.
this is a great story in the Washington Post about young children, like 5 and 6 year olds, who, even when cameras aren't on them, are doing YouTube videos.
I feel like this is not just YouTube, but it is also a small part of the population. But I will say, like, my younger children, all they know is like FaceTime for interacting and that sort of thing. So I can see how they are acting.
The lead is this kid, Max, who's 6 years old and has learned how to flip bottles, you know, so they land upright, upside down. And he's doing it, and this is really wild. He shouts, dude, it landed, waves his arms. He knows just how to overreact to get his audience excited, which makes them click thumbs up and comment and subscribe. He jumps, he wiggles his hips, he does the dab. Oh, my gosh, he yells.
It's a kid playing.
This is insane, but no one is watching.
Playing. Yeah, that's what kids do.
He's imitating what he sees on the tube.
Well, but where is he? This is techno panic. It just drives me bananas.
Nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would not. I mean, if anything, all it does is show that these parents really show their kids a lot of YouTube videos.
Yeah. Well, they watch. I mean, I don't, they let their kids. I don't know if the.
Well, and some of them do have videos. But, I mean, yeah, my kid, she doesn't watch TV. She watches people on YouTube.
Right. So that's what she acts like. You know, that actually does make sense. I acted like Dick Van Dyke when I was growing up. I would fall over furniture.
Yeah. Speaking of which, did you see the colorized Dick Van Dyke?
I have seen images from it, but I haven't watched it yet.
So the chair he trips over was this really ugly green.
Yeah.
And I'm not thinking that's the color.
No. You read the whole story, right?
No.
They had, okay. So in many cases, they had pictures from the production, color pictures.
Right.
So they were able to reproduce the color. And in cases where they didn't, they sat down with Carl Reiner and others and said, okay, what color was that painting? So don't you remember, you're old enough, furniture was really ugly back then.
Yeah, it's uglier now. So here's the question. The phone, green,
I saw you. This is
as an office phone.
It's now I remember. This is why I kind of got into the, went down this whole rabbit hole, because of your post on Facebook.
Welcome to the rat hole.
So they didn't know what color Alan Brady's phone was in his office, I guess. They didn't have a picture of that. Or no, the home phone.
No, it was the home phone. The home phone was a green phone, which struck me as an office phone. Stacey, this is, you don't even know what a princess phone is, let alone all of this.
Okay, I know what a princess phone is. They made they made them up for when I had my own.
You could get them at Radio Shack. Yeah.
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 But you didn't have the black hard rubber Western Electric phones that we all had.
No. Yeah.
And with the dials.
Nor did I have telegrams.
Somebody said no.
I have Snapchat spectacles. I know I'm old, but I'm hip. Look, I'm snapping right now. My God, what more do you need? I'm cool. Okay, let me upload that to my story.
I still haven't found you on Snapchat.
Chief Twit, I think that I don't know if my stories are getting uploaded. I don't know. I think some of it is. I don't really understand how it works yet. I'm going to have to perfect this, obviously. Here, wait a minute. I'll hold this up. Look, it's easy. Get your Snapchat out.
Okay.
And zoom into that, Karsten. Zoom into that. That's my, can you zoom in? I don't know if you can. That's me. And you just take a picture of that, right? It's like my QR code.
Add friends. Hold on. Here I come. Add by snap code.
I guess I'm Leo Laporte. I'm not Chief Twit. I apologize.
Tap a photo with snap code to add their Snapchat. What? No. Hold on.
Everybody add me. I'm now cool again.
Cool again.
I'm Leo Laporte. What should I do? Make it square?
Yeah.
That doesn't matter.
Oops.
You know what? What's your snap handle, girl?
Oh, crikey.
Hey, girl.
I don't.
Oh, crikey.
Hey, girl. Oh, crikey. That's not my Snapchat. I think it's Higginbob.
I like it. Add by username.
But I don't have any snaps.
Well, that doesn't matter. Two G's or one G in Higginbob?
Higginbob.
What are you again, Leo?
Leo Laporte, easily enough. I'm adding Higginbob. I don't know if you're Higginbob, but I'm adding a Higginbob.
Oh, now I've added you.
Uh-huh. Facebook filed a patent last June for a system that uses machine learning to vet objectionable content and or fake news. That'll work.
Didn't someone tell us that was old?
By the way, I don't know about you, but I got my year in review, and I'm pissed. Maybe my year wasn't that good. Everybody's posting these cool year in reviews from Facebook, you know, because they make a video of your life. And maybe I just didn't post enough on Facebook.
Oh yeah, I can see your spectacle story.
Yes. See, it's some of it's there. I don't know.
What's your username again? Sorry,
Leo Laporte. I thought it was my fault. I thought it was Chief Twit, which it is in many places, but it isn't in this particular instance. It's my same as my Twitter handle. Yeah, tell your 7-year-old you know somebody who has spectacles.
She's 10.
Tell your 10-year-old that I thought she was 7.
She'll like you even more. Not only.
You know, that works with older women, but not with young women.
Yeah.
No.
I could have sworn you were not a day over 7. Doesn't work.
Nope.
All right. We've really lost this show because now we are all involved in our own. This is what's wrong with social media. It's anti-social media, right?
Indeed.
You know what? No one's 2016 was good. Somebody says in the chat room, that's kind of true.
I started my own company. It was good personally.
I know you did. You know what? Because you were still at Fortune at the beginning of the year.
I was.
Yes.
And now time is up for sale.
What?
Woo. Yeah.
Okay, they're not. They've got their bankers evaluating.
There's
offers.
Not a lot of interest. In it appears.
Probably not.
We're gonna hope that Matthew's okay. That's what we're gonna have.
He'll be fine. And if not, well, he's always got. We'll always have.
Oh no! Wired just posted that a video saying, "Watch Uber's self-driving car barrel through a red light in San Francisco."
Yeah. Uh-oh.
That's not good.
Nope.
And it's kind of like a human driver.
I don't see it. I want to show it.
Oh, I had it on Twitter.
Is it Twitter? See, I lose out by not being on Twitter.
Here.
I list all the cool kids are seeing stuff, and I'm just not.
Where do you want me to put? Oh, we have a chat thing. Hold on.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, you put it there.
Oh, my chat doesn't work. I had this issue today. I've had a bad day with Google in my multiple
You
accounts.
Had a bad day. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, it won't let me chat with y'all. Jeff, you'll have to put it in.
Oh, I'm not going to find it again.
Well, here, I'll stick it in.
Just make a new box,
Make a box, Stacy.
Put it under Stacy's tips.
That's what I did. I put it under Stacy's thing in bright green URL. Earls. Mm-hmm.
I give up. Here it is. Here's a car running through red light. So this is from the Uber? Oh, it's right behind it. Okay. Go full screen, if you would, so we can see all the gory detail. Here you are. You're in a regular cab. Oh, it's a cab.
There we go.
Oopsies. Almost hit a pedestrian, even. I know right where that is. That's right next to the Yerba Buena Center.
Yep.
Okay.
Oops.
It wasn't barreling. I think that's unfair. It didn't slow down, however. Are you going to, now that I have Snapchat spectacles, I don't care about this story, but Instagram is bringing live video broadcasts to U.S. users. I can't stream live from Snap spectacles. This is just the Facebook tech. Facebook's really, this was the year of Facebook live video, wasn't it? They really
And Facebook is now experimenting with live 360, so you could have, a 360 class.
Do I have to have the Facebook camera to do that, or can I bring a,
I don't know,
like a Theta S or something like that?
They're in beta now. The amazing Fiji Simo.
I suppose we should mention that John Markoff is retiring from the New York Times.
That made me so sad.
He's actually taking the buyout.
I know.
So it's not really retiring. That's like...
Yeah, and I understand he's going to be on contract writing stuff for them, so...
Yes.
So is the Times doing buyouts for a lot of people? Is that...
I think that it's kind of ever thus.
Yeah. He calls it retiring. He's, of course, an old friend of the network. He's been on Twit some many times. And one of the great tech writers, just really talented fella.
Is it Machines of Loving and Grace?
Yeah.
Was that his book?
Yeah.
That's a good book.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And what the Dormouse said? Or
yes.
Yeah. Really good at, long form and short form reportage. Yeah,
kind of an even, you end up now with two camps of tech reporters, the dystopians and the extreme optimists. And he always, had a level head about him in his reporting.
Did you work with him at the Examiner?
No. No, okay. I was there so long ago.
Okay.
See, I would divide tech reporters into people who care about tech and people who write about features and products, which I feel are totally different styles of journalism. Yes. And it's kind of
there's
John
a third,
Markoff.
And I dearly love The Guardian I work with, but there's a third, isn't there, Stacey, which is also there's starting to be a tech writer group of people who don't like tech.
Oh, that's right. Nothing new. John C. Dvorak made a... made a career out of that. Nothing new at all. In fact, I kind of embrace that. Oh, I know the big story I wanted to talk about, Magic Leap.
Yeah.
So, not quite Theranos, but...
Speaking of dystopian tech writers.
Yeah.
Nick Stat, famous for that? Magic Leap was actually way behind like we always suspected it was. By the way, it should be...
As we always suspect.
Can I just, wait a minute, let me just get my blue pencil out here.
Is it red or blue? What color should I use?
Red.
Red. All right. And then what do? I put as and an arrow like that.
You.
That would be the way to do it?
No.
Well, you'd cross it out and then put an arrow underneath it and above it put as.
But you just do one line.
I got to learn about the copy editing thing.
Yes.
Because this is going to be fun. So Magic Leap has been sung. The praises have been sung. Google, big investor in Magic Leap. The idea is this was one of the augmented reality technologies, and many said the best of them. But the problem was the technology was nobody ever really saw it. And
they thought they did.
Yeah.
They people would come back and say, oh, I saw it. It's life-changing.
Well, and even Magic Leap now has admitted that the video they used to recruit new employees was completely faked. It was done by Weta, the folks who did the special effects for The Hobbit.
That's so funny.
This again, the information had the story, and this was a great story. And unfortunately, I mean, the video says the games were playing around the office right now. This is completely fake. Now, of course, this is what they want it to be. The information said, well, we got a demo of the Magic Leap. It's a giant helmet. You can barely hold your head up. Connects to a desktop computer with multiple cables. It's kind of like HoloLens, which is a Microsoft product that exists right now. Let me turn the sound off on this. But the images are in some cases blurrier and more jittery than Microsoft's prototype. So apparently, the information says the problem lies with Magic Leap's gamble on fiber scanning displays, which shines a laser through a fiber optic cable that moves rapidly back and forth to draw images out of light. That's actually very similar to the way your old TV set worked. The company thought the fiber scanning display could be Magic Leap's breakthrough tech, allowing it to shrink down the extremely expensive hardware used on a previous prototype, a refrigerator-sized device known internally as the Beast. Magic Leap still has not been able to get fiber scanning to work. So, I'm actually disappointed. But, man, it just... So this is why, if you're a tech writer and you're, you know, pessimistic about it, you're usually right. That's what I learned from Dvorak. You can look
so
at anything
and say...
That's not true.
And I think you might be right in the short term, but in the long term, a lot of the trends that we expect to see do actually happen, I guess.
Yeah, but often they take longer...
Well, yeah, but that's, imagine. I mean, this is hard stuff.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
But don't get your hopes up. You're not going to, it doesn't sound like you're going to be getting a Magic Leap helmet anytime soon.
But, you know, how many people do you know who went to see it and came back believing they'd seen it? So I don't know how much they actually saw. Maybe they did see more. Maybe it's not so, maybe the video was bad. Maybe they're farther along. I mean, part of the problem the story said is that miniaturizing all that technology is hard.
It's not practical the way it is right now. Yeah, there's, in fact, the whole story on why it's so hard to do. Although some have said it's kind of a little Theranos-like. I don't think it's that bad. I don't think it's a scam. Let's put it that way. The Bots Act. We should probably mention that. Congress has passed a law. It's passed through the House of Representatives. Called the Better Online Ticket Sales Act or Bots Act. Actually, the bill passed the Senate a week ago, so now it goes to the White House. So it is almost a law, if I remember my...
Schoolhouse Rock?
Schoolhouse Rock jingle. Lin-Manuel Miranda, the creator of Hamilton, one of the strong advocates for this. It's true, you can't get tickets to Hamilton because the minute new tickets go on sale, these bots go out and buy them all up and then try to sell them back to you for thousands of dollars.
So how can you outlaw them? How can you really know it's a bot? A clever bot, you wouldn't know it's a bot, right?
Well, no, you can easily put in... there's all sorts of ways. Or you prevent somebody from buying more than two tickets every 5 minutes or whatever. I mean, it's not... But you need to make it illegal first. The problem is you can catch them, but it's not illegal. Now it will be illegal. Ticket bots are illegal in New York. They increased the penalties last month. That didn't stop Broadway sales. An investigation by the New York State Attorney General found abuses like a single scalper buying more than 1,000 tickets in under a minute for a U2 concert in Madison Square Garden. So, yeah, actually, that's an interesting question. I think the first step is really make it clearly illegal the Bots Act makes it illegal to bypass an online security system.
So, interesting twist, and we're not there yet, but what if I tell Google Home to, hey, buy these tickets while I'm out?
Yeah, I don't think that would rise to that level.
Good question. Yeah.
Well, I think the real issue is if people buying...
Buy me 1,000.
Yeah, 1,000 tickets. That's really the issue.
Well, but that's kind of an interesting thing when they're writing that law, because when you're writing a law like that, if you ban bots, you ban potentially useful services.
Right.
Although you could argue then that, you know, by virtue of having broadband in Google Home, I am thus privileged above other people. So,
right. Anyway. You could argue that.
Rabbit hole.
You're also privileged by virtue of genetics.
All kinds of things. Where I live.
What can you do? It's just life. How about we take a break and come back with your picks of the week? Unless there's a story I'll give you.
Oh, wow. Oh, jeez.
I know. Well, we're only an hour and 43 minutes into the show. Although, I think, Karsten, if we can get one of the editors to tighten it up a little bit, all that stuff where I'm fumfering around because I'm trying to do this show in sunglasses, that would probably be...
With no good browser.
With Edge. Be nice to tighten it up a little bit.
So the transcript from the beginning of the meeting is up.
Ah.
I just put it up online.
So it looked like Reuters was in the room. So I guess, is that it seemed like some people weren't in the room before. Or maybe they were. I don't know. If you're really going to do it, you know, if you're really going to make it a reality show, you got to get press coverage.
Well, by the way, Karp. Is not, that's the other, that's David Karp. This is Alex Karp.
Who's Alex
CEO
Karp?
CEO of Palantir.
Oh, different.
Palantir.
Different Karp.
Yes, thank you for correcting me. Destroy the world. Yes,
Palantir is very different.
David Karp.
David Karp created Tumblr and is a nice guy.
Yes.
Palantir is, as the name implies, a device that looks, you know, into your inner thoughts and hopes and wishes.
So this is actually kind of interesting how they position themselves. So, Tim Cook, introducing himself. Tim Cook, very good to be here. I look forward to talking to the president-elect about things that we can do to help you achieve some of the things you want.
Good.
They're trying very hard, right? I'm Safra Katz, CEO of Oracle. I'm actually privileged and honored to even be here, and we're looking forward to helping you and your administration. Elon Musk, the CEO of SpaceX and Tesla, building rockets and cars and solar stuff in the U.S., I'm really excited about expanding our manufacturing footprint in the U.S.
Good.
By the way,
that's a good point. Tesla makes all its stuff here.
Well, yeah, it's a good... Eric Schmidt, Alphabet, Google, and completely agree with what's been said.
Really?
Whatever everybody says...
I agree. What they said. I love Eric Schmidt. He continues to amaze and impress with his elocution skills.
Jeff Bezos, Amazon.com. I'm super excited about the possibility that this could be the Innovations Administration.
Wow.
Hmm.
Wow. They're kissing his butt. See, Larry that just Page. Proves what I'm saying. They want to, look, they want to be at the table. They want to be part of the conversation. That's the only reason.
Satya just said Satya Nadella, CEO of Microsoft.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Satya.
Sheryl Sandberg, Facebook, excited to talk about jobs.
Yeah.
And so did actually Brian Krzenich, which is like name and
Intel.
Now none of the
name,
none
rank,
of the people,
and serial number. I love that.
Basically, like Eric Trump, welcome Ivanka Trump. I don't know.
I need no introduction. I am Ivanka Trump.
Ivanka. Okay.
Right, sorry, I look at Ivanka and I think she looks like she's the one who got all the brains, because the boys don't look that bright. I mean, excuse me, but here I am sitting in snap spectacles. There's no reason for me to have any opinion in that at all. But no, I look Donald Jr. He just looks like Donald Jr. That's what he looks like.
Well, Eric looks like this is gonna be, but what was it? What was the kid on the Munsters?
Eddie Munster.
Eddie Munster. It's the hair.
Yeah,
it's the Eddie Munster hair.
Widow's Peak is the key. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love it when Stacey goes.
I do too.
That could mean
I thought
anything.
I got exciting news, but it's not real.
No,
it's fakeish. Oh. It's fakeish. Fake so news? I'm not even gonna go.
Fakeish news. We love fakeish news. Our show today brought to you by something very real. I know because I used it for years. Saved my keister. I should take these off. You can't trust anybody wearing snap spectacles. I'm talking about FreshBooks. When I was a freelancer going up to Canada 1 week a month a few years ago, I had to make my own invoices. I didn't get paid unless I billed them for my time and expenses because I paid the airfare, the hotel, everything, and I had to get the money back, right? That's the life of a freelancer. But the thing is, I hated doing invoices. I hated it so much, and I would go kicking and screaming. Poor Amber MacArthur would have to hear me complaining about it every month. Finally, she said, Leo, FreshBooks, little Toronto startup. This is year 2004, I think. And they make it so easy to do invoices and so easy to do your bookkeeping. It's a super intuitive tool that makes it easy to create and send professional invoices. Take you just a few seconds, customize them with your invoice, with your logo, your color scheme, whatever images you want. You can chat with your client right in the FreshBooks interface about the invoice once they receive it. You can see which invoices have been sent, which have been paid, which have not been paid, and when they were viewed, very helpful. So they can't say, oh, I didn't get it. And this hub is more than just invoices, because now you can see your outstanding balances, your spending, your total profit, accounting reports like sales tax and profit and loss. It is awesome. FreshBooks.com. You could track expenses by vendor and category. Take expenses of pictures of the expense receipts and using the app. Put it right in. If you do time and hours, it's got a timer on the website, also on the app, and it just goes right into the invoice. It is just the easiest way. If you're doing this kind of bookkeeping, and I hope you are, don't do it the hard way with like a real accounting system. You got to learn, like I got a degree in accounting to use it. I tried that. It's just too hard. This is easy. You know how to use it already. It's all online. It's really easy. They got a great app for Android and iOS. If you want to try it, we got a 30-day free trial, unrestricted. Get the whole run of the place. All you have to do is go to FreshBooks.com/twig. FreshBooks.com/TWIG. And if you would do me a favor, you know, in the form they say, how did you hear about us? Please put This Week in Google so Jeff and Stacy and I get credit, okay? FreshBooks.com/twig for a 30-day free trial. We thank FreshBooks so much for making This Week in Google possible. Let's see here. Who wants to start? Why don't you start, Stacey?
Please, you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. I don't have a thing this week because I've been testing random things. But I decided to do things I am getting people as gifts.
Oh.
So this is gift idea number one. This is for children. And have I told you guys about Phoebe and her unicorn yet?
No. Razzle Dazzle Unicorn. What is that?
This is the holiday one. So this is what Calvin and Hobbes now looks like. I'm going to find one of the things. So this is like Calvin and Hobbes if Calvin were a girl and had a unicorn. And you're like, Stacy, that sounds so girly, but it's not. And I'm trying to find. Okay, here we go. Oh, wait.
Another
hold on. No, that is
a unicorn adventure. Oh, it's on a Kindle or Comixology. So this is a graphic novel.
It's a comic book. So let's see. Can you see this one?
Oh, look at that. It's cute. Yeah. Yeah. Nodes and nodes and nodes. It's programming. It's a binary tree.
Her dad is a sysadmin.
Oh, that's so cute.
So I can't give you the full. There it is.
Oh, so it's a.
It's funny. You'll love reading it. Geeky. It's geeky. She's unique. She's unique like Calvin was unique. So I love sharing this with my daughter. So there's a bunch of these. I highly recommend them. I learned about it from Cory Doctorow. So
oh, I love Cory. Do you know Corey?
Corey, not Carrie. I don't know him personally, but I follow him on Twitter, and every time he recommends a book for kids, I'm like, buying it
His daughter Posey's I think the same age as your daughter.
That's why I look. Yeah. I'm like, do more things. And then the other is a website. So this is I've been looking for photos on my wall, and a friend of mine told me about this guy who is in Texas. So there's some Texas themed stuff for any Longhorn fans. But check out these animal photos, and they're reasonably priced.
They're beautiful.
And I want to get the brown goat number one because this goat makes me laugh. Look at that goat's expression. I love it. So those are my two things. I know it's kind of random, but
you know, that's the beauty of this show. Everything we
I like that. I like that.
Everything. Oh, that's good. Random. That's random.
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 So, yes, his photos are really astonishing. Like, he gets some really great expressions on these animals, which sounds weird, but let's see. Scroll down to, are you in
the modern Audubon.
If you click on farm, I want to show you the goat because it made me laugh like out loud. Okay, farm. It's not working. Oh, sadness. Okay, scroll, keep scrolling. There he is, brown goat number one. Look at that face. He's like, what's up?
Wry and cynical.
Sorry. Okay, so now you know what people I know are getting for Christmas this year.
Aw, that's sweet. Jeff Jarvis, a number?
So it's getting toward the end of the year time. So Google's releasing some of its search data. Most popular is more popular than that.
I love that. Always love that. Yeah.
10 recipes.
Oh. Like people search for it over and over again?
What they search for.
And?
Number one.
Yeah.
Green bean casserole.
Why?
Well, it's worse, Leo. Worse. Number two.
Oh, why?
Brussels sprouts.
Well, that's because they're all trying to find a way to make them taste good.
Oh, you know my theory about Brussels sprouts. They didn't exist before Three Mile Island. Cabbages there.
No. It's just little baby cabbages. They're good.
Oh, they're awful. They're dreadful. I hate Brussels sprouts.
I think that this is an example, probably green beans too, of people wanting to make vegetables taste good because they want to. Yeah.
Stacy, where are you on the Brussels sprouts?
I love them.
Me too.
I thought you were all healthy.
Yep. How do you make them? What makes yours so good?
Oh, well, I have many, but I actually have multiple Brussels sprout recipes.
I'm thinking you probably don't make your green bean casserole this way. A mix of two cans of green beans, a can of condensed cream of mushroom soup, topped with fried onions. And actually, I doubt they're actually fried. They're probably the cans of fried onions that you get in the store. And cheddar cheese. And then you bake it until the cheese melts and the onion brown.
So I don't do that. I have a lemon dill green bean salad.
That sounds good.
It's delicious.
See, I think you might be a good cook. Yes?
Like, you might be right. Well, I mean, I can follow a recipe.
You might be
even
right.
Even without the fancy oven.
I think you might be a good cook. How do you make your Brussels sprouts? That's very important.
Bacon and balsamic.
Yep. Saute,
yeah.
Boom, that's all you need.
But you can also shred them into this lovely little salad that you can make kind of a Brussels slaw.
I eat coleslaw all the time. I love coleslaw. Yeah.
I love coleslaw. I'm from the South, so it's not weird.
Mayonnaise, cider vinegar, celery seed, salt, pepper.
Yogurt.
I'll have to try that.
To lighten it up a little for the mayonnaise?
Yeah, because you don't want mayonnaise, no. Number three, what's number three? Oh, wait a minute. This sounds good. Brussels sprouts with cheese, chestnuts. And I believe that's pronounced chestnut. Is it pronounced chestnuts or cheese nuts? And pancetta.
Pancetta is just fancy bacon.
Well, you know how I can eat Brussels sprouts?
Why?
If they are burned to a crisp.
Yeah, they're good that way. You roast
them.
Them.
Hash brown casserole. If potato's good, cooked twice, it's even better. Guacamole, number four.
That makes sense.
Sure.
Did they get the peas one?
No, don't put peas in your guacamole.
That's fake news, Stacy.
Chicken marsala. Not sure why that's in there. It's funny that these are so popular. Chicken tetrazzini?
Yeah, that's like from 40 years ago.
Snow ice cream. Can you make ice cream with snow?
Yes, we did it with my grandparents when I was a kid.
There you go. Well, now you can
find it on Google. Buttercream.
Condensed milk and vanilla extract.
Everything's better with buttercream.
That's true.
As Lisa says, I get so disappointed when I find a cupcake has whipped cream frosting.
Oh, I like whipped cream frosting.
Just breaks my heart, she says. Breaks my heart. Pork chops.
What?
Pork chops.
I mean, I can figure that out.
Number 9. Put them in the oven. Cook them. And turkey gravy. Number 10. I am proud to, my thing is something totally self-serving, but I'm proud to announce the grand opening of a permanent Twit merchandise store.
Yay!
Yay! We've been doing these one-offs, and Teespring does a great job with them, but we thought we'd, you know, people want, so a lot of these are designs that we maybe have sold one at a time in the past. People have asked for them. It's not a giant store. There's not a whole lot. By the way, still have 5 hours left in that Twit army, but we'll add more over time. I think a lot of things will be in there. You can go to twit.to/store. twit.to/store. That's Twit to store. And we've already got some good designs. This is just in time for the holidays. The Twit merchandise store. We got to get fezzes in there, caps, other things too. And we will.
Yeah, I want a cap. I want a Twit
cap. That's a good idea.
I want a beanie.
A beanie with a propeller?
No. I usually have one, like a little, like, you know, like a little skull cap.
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you wear beanies?
The skull cap ones? Yeah. Not the ones with propellers. I don't have one of those.
But you wear skull cap beanies?
Yeah.
I'm trying to imagine you in one.
I will wear one next show. I had two sitting right here, and then I moved them because I was cleaning off my desk. But... yeah.
Where the Screensavers gets its own T-shirt.
Yeah.
There's no Twig T-shirt.
We'll remedy that. Twig is mentioned on one of these.
Can we do a Jeff's face and I'm a Twit?
Oh, I like that.
Then you could have Stacy's face and I'm a Twit.
That. All right. Okay.
I like that. That's good. We'll get more. This is just the beginning.
No, I'm just joking you. Just have to act hurt.
It doesn't have to be twit.to. You could also go, if somebody says, the .to is confusing. You can also go, because that's our URL shortener is twit.to. You can also go to teespring.com/stores/twit. How do we get twit.to?
Is there a link from your homepage?
Probably.
Ooh, a bobblehead Leo. I like that.
Oh, is it there?
No, that's what someone was asking
for. Well, we have those. I'll send you one. We have a few extras.
I'm okay. I only have 3 tchotchkes on my desk, remember?
You see, that's exactly what happened. Is everybody said, oh, bobblehead Leo, I want one. And then we went and actually offered them, and they go, oh, no, I'm good. It seemed like a good idea at the time. No, I'm good. I don't want one.
That's how all bobbleheads start.
Well, there's no link, I guess, yet, but there will be. We'll put a link on there. And just, you can remember that, twit.to/store. What is that, Jeff Jarvis, in your lap?
It's my sad moments.
Oh, it's a Hillary bobble.
Yeah, Hillary bobblehead.
We had in our house giant Hillary and Donald masks, and I finally got rid of them. It was creeping me out, man. I couldn't take it. Ladies and gentlemen, we come to the end of this fabulous show.
Yay!
The Snapchat Spectacle episode.
The Spectacle Spectacular.
And yes, my Snapchat handle, I will correct it now, is Leo Laporte. You're more than welcome. I will probably be doing a story we're going flying down to Vegas tonight for my birthday. We're going to go to one of my favorite restaurants.
What is your birthday?
Well, my birthday was last month.
Oh, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Joël Robuchon.
Cool.
And we're going to go there, and then we're going to go see David Copperfield do some magic.
Don't disappear.
And then we're going to come back. And I'm going to wear the ridiculous glasses as much as they let me. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Thank you, especially Jeff and Stacy. Now, we have one more show next week, and then we'll have a couple of weeks off. Or I guess 1 week off.
1 week off.
We'll be back on the 5th. But
Stacy and I both have January problems, but we'll figure that out.
January problems, January don't problems. We all, you know. But we do want your help in putting together a best of, best moments. One of them's got to be Stacy going,
I knew it.
Go to twit.tv/bestof, and you can, whatever you know, you don't have to fill it all in, but whatever information you know, it could just be that. and help our editors put together a fun best of for that will be airing the week after Christmas, in between Christmas and New Year's. twit.tv/best of. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We do this show every Wednesday, 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern Time, 21:30 UTC. You can watch on twit.tv live. You can stream it. Yes, you can. You can also be in the chat room at irc.twit.tv. You can also see me snap it. But if you can't be here in person, you can always get it at twit.tv/twig or wherever finer shows are aggregated for download on your favorite podcatcher. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time on This Week in Google. Bye.